verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Visada Vasanayas.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai
Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So last night we were talking about Lord Balaram, his special nature, a little bit about his extraordinary intelligence as a devotee and like that. And we concluded by reading a couple of verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which are actually about Lord Ramachandra and Lord Lakshman. So let us continue with that. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, Chapter 5, and we'll begin with verse 150 and read 4 or 5 or 6 verses like that. Ramera Charitra Sabha Dukera Karana Swatantra Lilaya Dukha Sahena Lakshmana. The activities of Lord Ram were full of suffering, but Lakshman of his own accord tolerated that suffering. Nisheda Karite Nare Yate Chotabai Monadari Rahe Lakshman Mane Dukha Pai. As a younger brother, he could not stop Lord Ram from his resolution, and so he remained silent, although unhappy in his mind. Krishna avatare jeshta hailase vara karan Krishna ke karayala nana sukha asvadana. When Lord Krishna appeared, he, Balaram, became his older brother, to serve him to his heart's content and make him enjoy all sorts of happiness. Ramera Angsha Vishesha Avatara Kali Donhe Donhate Pravesha. Sri Ram and Sri Lakshman, who are plenary portions of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram respectively, entered into them at the time of Krishna and Balaram's appearance. Se Angsha Lana Jeshta Kanishta Bimana Amsham Shi Rupe Shastre Karaye Vyakyana. Krishna and Balaram present themselves as younger brother and older brother, but in the scriptures, they are described as the original supreme personality of Godhead and his first expansion. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shivati Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vaschatya Dejatarane. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajkapata Rupyas Jagripa Sindhu Vyevacha. Pajitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Yes, so here there's lots of talk of dukkha and sukha. Different ups and downs were going on in the pastimes of Lord Ram and Lakshman. I'm sure you all know the story. Basically, at least, and perhaps well, there's a lot of dukkha and some sukha, but the dukkha was more prominent quite often. Dukkha meaning misery and sukha meaning happiness. One of my very dear godbrothers, wonderful devotee, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he married a girl of some sort of obscure Russian extraction, so she said, and she said she had a Russian name, and her name was, are you ready? Tamara Duke. Tamara meaning your, Duke meaning misery. Because in Russia it's a fact, Tamara, well, it's not such a common name, but anyway, it's there to some degree. Duke, I never heard that one before, but anyway, that's what she said. And I remember being there in Bethal in South Africa, and we were going to stay in the house of some extremely nice Gujarati people who were, you know, they were fluent in Gujarati and Hindi to a reasonable degree. And this devotee innocently introduced his wife to this husband and wife and said, yes, this is my wife, Tamara Duke. And they just looked at him like, you know, are you serious? It was amazing. And you could see they were really trying not to laugh. But anyway, you see, in the pastimes of Lord Ram, there was a lot of dukkha. And Lakshman got involved, although he didn't really appreciate it all. First of all, they were, well, Lord Ram was exiled. I'm talking, anyway, let's just go through it. Lord Ram was exiled, so that's already difficult enough. And Sita insisted on going, and Lakshman went also for some reason. His wife did not go. She stayed back in the palace in Ayodhya. What's the name of Lakshman's wife? Urmila. Yes, so Urmila stayed back in the palace. And there they were now, Ram, Lakshman and Sita. in the forest. And one day, what was his name? Marie Chi, Cha, Chi, Chi, Marie Chi, who was a wizard, mystic. He was approached by Ravan, and Ravan explained, you know, I want to kidnap Sita, she's very good looking. I want to kidnap her, and I want you to help me kidnap her from Ram. And he explained that the idea, you take the form of a very beautiful little deer, very sweet and cute and cuddly looking, all that sort of thing. And Sita will become attracted, you lead her away, and then I'll kidnap. I mean, you lead. Sita will be captivated. She will tell Ram she wants the deer. Ram will then follow you. You take Ram away, and then I'll kidnap Sita. Ha ha, good plan. And Marie Chi said, well, I don't know if it's such a good plan, because Ram will kill me, surely. And Ravan, so you know, I don't think I really want to do it. And Ravan said, well, that's all right. If you don't do it, I'll kill you. So you decide, who do you want to be killed by? And Marie Chi said, well, you know, if you put it that way, I'd rather be killed by Ram than I may go back to Godhead. So he did it. And sure enough, Sita became very attracted and insisted to Lord Ram that you must catch this little deer so I can keep him as a pet. So sweet and nice. And Lakshman said, don't do it. It's a trick. It's some mystical trick. Don't do it. But Sita insisted. And Ram, well, he accepted her desire. And Lakshman all the time was saying, don't do it. It's a trick. Just let the deer go. But then Ram said, no, my wife Sita wants this deer, I must do it. And off he went with Lakshman, with, you know, under strict orders. You protect Sita, just don't go away one inch. So there's Lakshman, he's ready, guarding her. And then, so Marie Cha Chi led Lord Ram away down into the depths of the forest some distance. And then Marie Chi, being an expert mystic, imitating the voice of Lord Ram, called out, Lakshman, help, come, immediately come, save me. And Lakshman and Sita heard this, and Sita said, Lakshman, go, your brother's in danger, go immediately. And Lakshman said, listen, it's all a trick, it's just all a trick. And I've got strict orders to stay here, so I'm staying. And then Mother Sita got really sort of mean and nasty, transcendentally. She said, oh, I see, I understand now. You want Ram to die, and then you can enjoy me. That's the idea. And Lakshman was just saying, no, no, no. Because he was totally devoted to Mother Sita in a completely totally pure way. But Sita just persisted and persisted. And Lakshman just felt, well, you know, what can I do? So he drew an Agni, sort of like an Agni Yantra, really, a mystical design, circular, around Sita with the end of his bow, and empowered it with Agni Mantra, and said, no one will be able to come through this. So if anyone comes, just stay within. Anyway, it's a long story. And she got enticed by Ravana, disguised, to come out and give him some food. And he grabbed her and kidnapped her, and that was that. And then Ram and Lakshman came back, and Sita was gone. Well, first of all, Ram arrived there where, I mean, Lakshman arrived there where Ram was. He had just killed Marie Chi. Yeah. And Ram said, what are you doing here? You're not meant to be here. And what could Lakshman say? Not much. Because Ram is the older brother. An older brother has considerable authority, particularly in the absence of the father. So then they went back, and Sita was gone, and Ram was just totally devastated. And he said to Lakshman, just see, you left her, she was kidnapped. He really chastised Lakshman. And all the time, Lakshman, silently, because he's the younger brother, and he couldn't really speak up, but he was thinking, listen, it was your idea. I told you it was just nonsense. I told you. He was thinking, but he couldn't say it. And then he thought, you know what the problem is? The root problem is, I'm the younger brother. If I was the older brother, we would never have got into this mess. But I'm the younger brother. Oh well. So then, a little later, Sita was rescued, and she asked Lord Ram, what should I do now? Now that I'm rescued. And Ram just shrugged his shoulders and said, oh, you can do what you like. It's okay. Do what you like. He didn't say, oh, I'm so glad you're back. How wonderful. Now we can be together forever and a day. He just said, oh, do what you like. So anyway, then Lord Ram approached Lakshman and said, you know what? We have to test Sita's purity. And Lakshman said, what do you mean, we have to? You know, we, meaning me and all the others, we're completely satisfied that she's totally pure. It's just absolutely fine. But Ram said, no, we have to test her. We have to build a fire, and she has to walk through the fire to prove she's pure. And Lakshman said, oh no, that there's no need. There's no need. And anyway, who's going to build such a fire? Because everyone knows she's the goddess of fortune. She cannot be contaminated. So who's going to build the fire? No one's going to build it. And Ram said, Lakshman, someone is going to build it. You are going to build it. because you're the younger brother. And Lakshman thought, oh no, not again. You know, this, just see, because I'm the younger brother, we get into these situations. Oh my gosh. So he built a fire, a sort of little fire. And he said to Ram, okay, there's a fire. And Ram said, no, bigger, Lakshman. And he built it a bit bigger. There, see, there's a fire. And Ram said, Lakshman, make it bigger. So eventually they had this big fire. And Sita walked through it and emerged on the other side unscathed. And in that way proved her purity. It's a long story. You know, in Krishna consciousness, we have many long stories. And this is really one of them. We will not get into the details. But in this way, basically, you can say she proved her purity. And Lakshman was thinking, what is this? This is aparad. This is offense to Mother Sita. How on earth did I ever get into this situation? It's crazy. It's because I'm the younger brother. And he said, you know, he thought to himself, next time I've got to be the older brother. Next time. So then, third time lucky. Sorry, not. Lord Ram went walking around the city incognito, and just like, yeah, incognito, disguised, and just listening, eavesdropping to see what people were saying about him. And he heard one Dobiwala saying to his friends, ha! My wife stayed overnight in the house of another man. One night, I booted her out. Gone. Finished. And I told her, you just don't come back. That's it. And he said, I'm not like that Ram, hen-pecked husband. His wife stayed for weeks in the house of another man, and he took her back. Oh, how sweet. But I'm not like that. I'm a real man of real character. And Ram heard that. And Ram decided, okay, I've got to kick Sita out. See, you gotta watch out for Dobiwalas. Beware of Dobiwalas. Yeah. So Ram went back to the palace. And it's another long story, but anyway, basically what it boils down to is that he called Lakshman in. Said, Lakshman, we have to banish Sita to the forest. Just leave her there. And Lakshman said, what? Why? And Ram explained the story. And Lakshman said, oh, look, don't worry about what such a person says. Just don't worry about it. We all know she walked through fire. We all know she's completely pure. So just don't worry. But Ram insisted, no, we have to do it. We have to do it. And Lakshman said, listen, Ram, no one is going to take her out and drop her in the forest. No one's going to do it, because everyone knows it's totally unnecessary. No one will do it. And Ram said, Lakshman, you will do it. And then Lakshman again, third time, oh no, this is ridiculous. And then he said to Lord Ram, but the thing is, if I take her out there and I tell her, okay, you know, we're leaving you here and that's it, she won't get off the chariot. And Ram said, no, you don't tell her. Don't tell her you're going to leave her. Just take her and say, oh, isn't it nice? Just like when we were in exile. Wouldn't you like to get off the chariot and walk around a little and then you drive away? And Lakshman thought, this is too much. And then he said, that's it. Had it. Finished. Next time, I'm going to be the older brother. For sure. Next time. Definitely. So as stated here, next time, he was, as Balaram, in his original form, he was the older brother. But not by much. Actually, it's only about a week or thereabouts. Something like that. That's also an interesting story, isn't it? How Lord Balaram, first of all, entered the womb of Devaki. And then after some time, he was transferred by Yogamaya to the womb of Rohini, who is actually his eternal mother. Devaki is not. She is not the mother of Lord Balaram. So the question arises, why? Why not just straight into the womb of Rohini? Simple. Because he's the son of Rohini. He's Rohini Nandan. So why first into the womb of Devaki? And then apparently she has a miscarriage. You know, it's very disturbing. And he is transferred into the womb of Rohini. So why? For what reason? It is explained in the Bhagavatam, and actually it's in our 10th canto. Srila Prabhupada explains, actually, in one of the purports, that Balaram wanted to go into the womb of Devaki, knowing that Krishna would be going in there soon, shortly. And Balaram wanted to check it out and see that everything was in order so that Krishna could go in and be comfortable. You know, everything was working properly and all that. This is what Prabhupada explains. Because Balaram is a devotee. And, oh, Balaram, he is so concerned about Krishna. He is so concerned. So this is what happened. However, having said that, still there were some difficult situations. Some difficult situations arose. One difficult situation was Sri Sri Krishna Balarama Ki. Today is the anniversary, is it? Oh, tomorrow. Sorry? Wow. Should Anand. Thank you. I will not say Mahatma Gandhi Ki Jai. Thank you. You know what I did? A little, like less than maybe 6 months ago, one devotee, Ramapad Maharaj actually, sent me excerpts from Mahatma Gandhi's book about Bhagavad Gita. I forget the name. It's some, you know, my thoughts on Bhagavad Gita or something like that. Bhagavad Gita according to me. And I read it. I've never read it before. And I never realized till I read it how completely bewildered Mahatma Gandhi was. It's shocking. I tell you, it's spiritually criminal. It's just out of this world. Honestly. That's right. Poor old Modi. I mean, you know, Modi's sort of a nice chap in his own way, but he's also a little, you know, a little otherwise. Anyway, you know, only the devotees understand these things, actually. Others, it's a real challenge. But so confused, it's shocking, truly shocking. Don't tell anybody I said that, okay? You know, I don't want assassination attempts. Huh? What's that? He did. Or can I? Oh, okay. I'll have to find it, but yeah. I tell you. Ooh, okay. So. Yes. There were a couple of incidents. One incident was Lord Brahma stole the cowherd boys and calves. Balaram was not there that day because that pastime happened on the appearance day of Lord Balaram. He was at home having a birthday party with his mother. And the other was the Kaliya Damana Leela, where Kaliya, snake, serpent, just really apparently caught hold of Krishna. And it seemed that Krishna's life was in great danger for hours. It also happened on Balaram Jayanti. Yes. The appearance day of Lord Balaram. And he was also at home having a birthday party. And, well, of course, the village people, the stealing of the cowherd boys and calves, they never really knew. They never knew about that. They never knew. But still, it was something, you know, it was a problem, and Balaram was not there. But now, Kaliya Leela, everyone was saying, if only Balaram had been there, it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened. The problem was, Balaram was not there. Because everyone knows, Balaram, as the older brother, he's very protective, caring, and he's always thinking, you know, what's going to happen, and making sure they avoid possible problems which may arise. This is Balaram. He's very intelligent, and he really thinks what to do and what not to do. And everyone knows that. So they all said, if Balaram had been there, it would never have happened. This is the problem. So next time it's Balaram's birthday, don't let Krishna go out. Make him stay home too. Yeah. You know, during the stealing of the cowherd boys and calves, Krishna expanded into the same forms as the cowherd boys and calves. and came home in the evening. And for 1 year, the cowherd boys and calves were Krishna. And all the bridge busies, they all started becoming attracted to the cowherd boys like they were attracted to Krishna. And the cows became attracted to the calves like they were attracted to Krishna. Because generally, the parents are much more attracted to Krishna than their own children. Yeah. And the gopis were thinking. The gopis generally would think that, yes, well, who are we going to marry? And the gopis would talk about this and say, well, Radharani will marry Krishna and we will be stuck getting married to just the regular cowherd boys. Ho hum. How boring. Because they don't compare to Krishna. And Radharani is going to marry Krishna and we're going to be stuck with these ordinary cowherd boys. But now the cowherd boys were Krishna. And the gopis found that they were becoming attracted to the cowherd boys like they were attracted to Krishna. And they would discuss this. And they were saying to each other, you know what? Let Radharani marry Krishna. It's okay. We can marry the cowherd boys. It's not a problem. It'll be quite nice, actually. So Krishna arranged a mass wedding. All the cowherd boys married all the gopis. Except all the cowherd boys were Krishna. That was the desire, ultimately, of the gopis, actually. So they got married to the cowherd boys. However, after the year, the real cowherd boys came back. And we don't know how the gopis reacted. If there were any divorces or scandals, marital strife, and all that sort of stuff. So anyway, Hare Krishna, so much for that. So anyway, now Lord Balaram, seeing that even though he's the older brother, still some serious problems arise. At least the Kaliya Leela, oh, that was serious. Then Lord Balaram thought, okay, next time I'm going to be the older brother, but I'm really going to be much older. And then, you know, when I'm really senior, then I've really got authority. So next time Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya and Balaram appeared as Lord Nityananda, and Lord Nityananda was what? 12, I think, years, or was it 16? 12 years older than Lord Chaitanya. Yeah. So Lord Chaitanya generally didn't get into so much difficulty when Lord Nityananda was there. Yeah. So, okay, so there you go, you see. The older brother. Balaram is the older brother. He's the first expansion, but he's not in the junior position socially. Socially, he's in the superior position. And he accepts that mood of being the senior and being the protector like that. So now I wanted to get into a sort of another aspect of things by talking about some pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. And you know that most of the time in the 10th canto, up till the time that Krishna leaves Vrindavan, other than the rasa dance, most of the time in the 10th canto, up till Krishna leaving for Mathura, most of the time they're killing demons. Most of the time. Most of the chapters. There are a few chapters describing other things, but the majority, Krishna, Balaram, are dealing with demons. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has analyzed, there are 21, if I remember correctly, 21 of these demons. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has commented on them, saying that each demon represents a particular anatha, or challenge, obstacle, problem that a devotee faces while he or she is trying to progress in Krishna consciousness. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the point that if we study the different pastimes of Krishna killing the different demons, each one representing some particular problem, then just by studying those pastimes will help us to overcome our own difficulties in that particular regard, whatever problem that demon represents, just by reading the pastime. Like, for example, the first demon. Who was the first demon Krishna killed in his Vrindavan Leela? Putana. Putana. Putana represents the anatha of the pseudo guru, the false guru who's not a guru, but who, you know, looks like a guru and people think he is and he's presented as such, but actually he's not. So, and of course, you know, you can see that in the pastime, to some degree at least, that Putana, she looked like a monster. She was a really ghastly looking being. But, you know, she was what, like 10 or 12 kilometers tall. And she really looked, you know, really horrific and just mean and nasty. But when she came in to Gokula, because she's a witch, she's a mystic, she transformed into the form of a very beautiful young woman. Young woman. And not just beautiful, but very saintly looking. Very saintly and sweet. And not just some, you know, physically attractive young woman. Yeah, but like angelic, you could say. Angelic looking. And so when she came in, she looked so nice. She walked into Nanda Maharaja's personal quarters and no one stopped her, even though no one knew who she was. And, you know, in Vedic culture, husband and wife do not sleep in the same room. They sleep in different parts of the whole house, you could say, or residential setup. Because, you know, it's normally big joint family type of setup. And the women were on one side, the men were on another side. And so now she walked into Nanda Maharaja's personal room, but still Mother Yashoda said nothing, because Putin looked so nice. Anyway, we're not going to go into the whole, the details of the pastime now, maybe some other time. But just, you know, you can see how she could be said to represent a pseudo-guru. So anyway, there's 21. Some of them are not exactly demons, like Lord Brahma is included for stealing the cowherd voice. He's definitely not a demon. In fact, he's the head of our sampradaya. But by Krishna's arrangement, he acted in a sort of demoniac way, actually, anti-Krishna way. Similarly, the Govardhan Leela is there. Lord Indra is not a demon, but he became demoniac. So like this. So you get all these demons. Shakatasura was the second. He represents the anatha of carrying a cartload of bad habits and misconceptions from the past, which sort of haunt you as you're trying to progress in devotional service. Yeah. Trinavarta, the whirlwind demon, represents the blinding effect of material scholarship. You get, you know, first of all you get a degree, then you get another degree, then you get a third degree, and then you get a fourth degree, and then you think, sure, I'm just a big authority. I know practically everything. Our, I don't know if I mentioned it before, but the devotee who designed our temple in Chatsworth in Durban, Raj Ram Prabhu, he had a degree in architecture and design. So first he got a bachelor's degree in architecture and design, BAD. Then he got a master's in architecture and design, MAD. And, well, we gave him such a hard time about that. But anyway, then he met his wife and got married, and they had a daughter, had a child, and he became DAD, if you follow. So anyway. But this is what happens. People get well educated, and not in every case, but in many cases, they become puffed up, and they won't listen to people like us preachers. Yeah. So that's Trinavarta. So there's 21, we're not going to go through them all, but we will discuss Dainikasura here and now. Okay? It involves Krishna and Balaram. Who can tell me how Krishna killed Dainikasura? Spinning him around? Is that right? Krishna killed Dainikasura by spinning him around? That's wrong. Balaram killed Dainikasura. Anyway, don't worry, that's just a trick question. Yes. Yeah, okay. And who? There are two demons killed by Balaram in Vrindavan, as described in the Bhagavatam. Who's the second one? Pralambasura. Dainikasura was in the form of a donkey. He represents the mode of ignorance, tamagun, donkey. And Pralambasura represents the mode of passion, material desire to enjoy in any way the whole realm of material enjoyment. Whereas Krishna, so these are two big anathas, mode of ignorance, the whole mode of ignorance, the whole mode of passion, they're big anathas. Whereas the anathas that the demons killed by Krishna represent, you know, they're serious, but they're not as big. They're not as big. They're more like details of different specific anathas rather than being big general, all-encompassing type anathas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a very interesting point. Listen to this, devotees. He makes the point that the anathas that the demons killed by Krishna represent, they can usually be overcome simply by your ongoing efforts in devotional service, generally, without you having to make some special effort to work on that anatha and somehow get free and fight it off and all that sort of thing. You just carry on with your chanting, carry on with your Krishna consciousness, and you become free from these things. However, he makes the point that the anathas, these two, that Dainakasura and Pralambasura represent, Tamagun and Rajagun, you have to make a special effort. And you have to take shelter of Lord Balaram to do it. Now, how are you going to take shelter of Lord Balaram? Well, of course, you can meditate on him, you can pray to him. That's very good, and we should do that. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, particularly, Balaram is known as the original spiritual master. Actually, Balaram and Radharani, sometimes either is referred to as the original spiritual master, because they are the closest people to Krishna. Balaram is the first expansion, the older brother. So, you know, at least say on the male side, no one knows Krishna like Balaram knows him. And on the other side, Radharani is his internal potency. Actually, she's part of him. She's part of him directly. And of course, she understands Krishna very well. So either of them can be referred to as the original spiritual master because they know Krishna. Yes. And just an interesting little point in regards to Radharani being part of Krishna. I don't know if you ever heard. One time, somewhere in America, Prabhupada asked the devotees, "Who is God?" And, you know, the devotees thought, you know, what is this? What sort of, who is God? So naturally, you know, Krishna! Prabhupada said, no. He is not God. And everyone became bewildered and didn't know what to say. And Prabhupada said, Radha Krishna is God. Because Radharani is part of Krishna. She is his pleasure potency, sort of extracted from within him and placed outside of him as a separate, apparently a separate person, to heighten the loving exchanges. Yeah. And indeed, there's a famous pastime Maybe I'll tell you tomorrow. Yeah. Oh, it's a good one. It's a really good one. Yeah. Okay, so Dainagasura. So you have to take shelter of Balaram directly through prayer and meditation. But you also have to take shelter of the spiritual master, who is the representative of Balaram. You have to do that. Otherwise, you cannot really get out of Tamagun or Rajagun that too much. And we have been in this material world too long. So, okay, let's see now. Dainagasura. Let me just find my notes. So this pastime took place on the Gopastami day. It is the, what is it? First Astami, is it? I think it's the first, is it, or the second? In Kartik. Gop Astami. No, it's the second Astami. Second Astami. Yeah. In Kartik. So that's something you can remember. Something you can remember. When the Gop Astami day comes, that this is the day that Balaram killed Dainagasura. And it was the Astami immediately after Krishna and Balaram had turned six and just entered what they call the Poganda period. Right? Second Astami. Anyway, so and this was the first day, that Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys took the cows out. They had been taking the calves since the time Krishna was three years old. They'd been taking the calves. You know, Krishna, Balaram, and their cowherd boyfriends, they are tough guys. Ho, ho, ho. Rough, tough. And when Krishna just turned three, he approached Nanda Maharaj and he said, "Hey, Peter, we want to take out the cows." "All right." He didn't say, "My dear father, respected Peter G, Peter Shri, or whatever." He just said, "Hey, listen, Peter, we're taking out the cows." "Okay, yes." And there's like this debate. And Mother Yashoda was very concerned. "Krishna, you're only three. You're this size. The cows are big. How can you hurt the cows? Stay home." Of course, she wanted him to stay home. But Krishna, "No. We want to hurt the cows." "Yes." 3 years old. And eventually they settled, okay, you can herd the calves. So they took the calves out for 3 years. It was also the Gopastami, actually, that Krishna started herding the calves. So there they went, herding the cows. And they went down past Talavan, in the direction of Talavan, and they passed next to Talavan. And as they passed Talavan, they smelt the smell of ripe, beautiful fruit. Beautiful fruit. Just coming from the forest. And, you know, why? Why was normally when fruit is ripe, people pick it? If the people don't pick it, the birds eat it. But here was all that the whole forest was full of fruit, which was completely ripe, and none had been picked. The birds had eaten none. So there's this powerful aroma. Why? Because Dainakasura was in the forest. And on one hand, he would not eat the fruit because he is non-veg. He is serious non-veg. So he wouldn't eat the fruit. You know, talking about the difficulties of India and the people. Before Kingfisher Airlines, did you ever hear of them? There was this airline, it's defunct now, called Kingfisher. And it was an attempt at a sort of like upmarket, Western, cool, groovy airline, if you know what I mean. And he had these little Indian girls, like late teens to maybe 22, 23, that sort of age bracket, dressed up in miniskirts, red miniskirts, and they were the stewardesses. So there I was sitting on the plane, and they came through, and they're serving meals. And this little girl with the miniskirt and heavy makeup, she looked at me and she said, "Veg or non-veg?" And then I realized, it's Kali Yuga. Bharat Bhumi May. Yes, good night, India. Will the last Dharmatma to leave India please switch off the lights? So Dainakasura, he is serious non-veg. I remember I was distributing books in London, central London, Carnaby Street. It's just off Oxford Street, the main street, and it's like, I don't know what it's like now, but in those days, it was the high fashion street, designer clothes and all that. So we're distributing books there, and I met this young boy, like 10 years old, and he looked sort of like dull and dirty. And he had no money, so he couldn't take a book. But we were giving out prasad. I gave him a sweet ball. And he looked at it and he said, "What is it?" And I said, "It's a sweet, it's nice, go on, eat it." And he walked off. He came back about 2 or 3 minutes later, something like that, with the sweet and said, "Here, take the sweet back. I don't want it. My mother said, we are Satanists, we only eat meat. Take it." So I had to take it back. Hare Krishna. So anyway, yeah, Dainakasura, he was non-veg. So now what happened, very interesting thing actually happened, is that the cow, when they smelt this fruit, the cowherd boy said to Krishna and Balaram, "Wow, this fruit smells amazing. We'd really like to eat some. Can you help us get some?" And Krishna and Balaram said, "Sure, no problem." And then they went into the forest. but our acharyas. So it sounds like the cowherd boys want to eat some tasty fruit because it tastes good and we can gratify our senses. But our acharyas explain that they, of course, they're pure devotees. They know nothing else but pleasing Krishna and Balaram. And their idea was, we want to offer this fruit to Krishna and Balaram. But if we tell them, no, come in so we can get the fruit and offer it to you, then Krishna and Balaram would say, no, don't worry, we have our lunch boxes. Because Krishna and Balaram, they have these lunch boxes. They look like a typical school lunch box from the Baobab school. Right. You know, some sort of plastic thing this size. You know what I mean. Looks like that, but you open it. Any type of sabji you can think of, it's in there, in unlimited quantities. Any type of samosa. If you say, I want mung dal samosa, there it is. If you say, I want cauliflower and pea samosa, there it is. Take two, take three. If you want famous South African sweet corn and paneer samosa, take 10. And any sweets and even drinks, because they're transcendental lunch boxes. Oh, yes. And any fruit, any type of fruit. Alfonso mangoes. Oh, yes. Mauritian lychees. Okay. So they knew Krishna and Balaram would say, no, it doesn't matter, we don't need it. But they wanted to offer, out of love, they wanted to offer to Krishna and Balaram to express their love. So, being clever, they put it that way. Oh, we'd like to eat some of the fruit, will you help us get it? So Krishna and Balaram agreed, and in they went. And there was this big tall tree. It's like a type of palm. And Balaram put his arms around this tall tree and shook it so hard the whole planet shook. The whole planet shook. And if you are able to access any of the news reports, you know, CNN, BBC, from 5,000 years ago, on Gopastami Day, whatever year, 5,000 years ago, you'll see big report, planet shakes. What caused it? No one knows. Scientists baffled as usual. And Dainakasura. Well, the thing is, Dainakasura, he didn't eat any of the fruit. But if any people came to pick it, he'd kill them. And even if birds came flying in to eat it, he'd kill them. This is envy. Envy is tamagun. Envy is tamagun. That even though you can't enjoy it or you don't want to enjoy it, you won't let anyone else. That's enviousness. So Dainakasura was sleeping just a little bit away in the same forest. Suddenly the whole planet starts shaking and he's just thrown into the air and bouncing. And he thought, Who is the rascal who came into my forest? I'm going to kill him. So Denakasura jumped up and made a loud donkey noise. Can someone please demonstrate? One of the gentlemen. A serious donkey noise. You're very conservative, aren't you? If this was Russia, we'd have at least five and a few ladies too. Anyway. And then he came racing over to kill whoever, you know, was this rascal disturbing his forest. And he saw there was Balaram shaking the tree. And he understood, this is him. I'm going to get him. So he just raced at Balaram. He raced at Balaram. Have we got time to finish this, or should we stop and leave everyone in suspense? Suspense may not be good for the blood pressure. So, he spun around in front of Balaram and kicked Balaram in the chest with his rear legs really hard. Really hard. And normally when he kicked anyone with his rear legs, they would just go flying, literally, and die. So, but when he turned around, there's Lord Balaram like, yes, you know, life is good. Everything is going on. No problems. And Denakasura couldn't believe it. How did he survive? And he's totally unhurt. In fact, he is fine. Who is this? What's going on? So now, in different Vedic literatures, you get more detailed descriptions of what happened from this point. Balaram grabbed Denakasura and threw him, how far? 12 kilometers, and he landed on his head. Fortunately, he has a very hard head, so he didn't die. And he came racing back. And then, so now he's coming back, and there the cowherd boys and Krishna and Balaram. And Denakasura thought to himself, shoot, that white skinned boy, wow, he's really tough. And he saw Krishna, and he thought, oh no, no. He saw the other cowherd boys, and he thought, let me try them. So he came racing up to kick Sridham, the brother of Radharani. Sridham hit him with a stick. Bang! Subal jumped forward. You know, Denakasura is already a bit dizzy. Subal jumped forward and punched him in the face. Whack! Stoka Krishna, another cowherd boy, he had his rope for herding the cows. He came up and he whipped Denakasura with his rope viciously. So Denakasura, he's really dizzy and really hurting. Then there's a cowherd boy called Arjuna. It's not Bhagavad Gita Arjuna, it's another cowherd boy. And another one called Angsu. Seeing Denakasura sort of dizzy and, you know, like not completely with it, they picked him up over their heads and they threw him on the ground hard. Bang! So now Denikasura is on the ground, just semi-conscious, in pain. And two cowherd boys, Vishal and Rishabha, they took a run-up and they came running in and kicked him hard in the face. Whoa. Then another boy, Tejasvi, jumped on top of Denikasura. Denikasura grabbed his throat and started strangling him. Another boy, Devaprastha, gave him a good slap and another good slap and back. In Chatsworth, we call this giving a person a what happened. See, I'm from Chatsworth. And there was one little boy called Varutapa, and he really wanted to get into it. He was just a little boy, and he didn't know what to do. He had a ball, and he ran up to Denikasura and threw the ball at him. Whack! So then Denikasura got up, feeling very groggy. He thought, the white boy is really tough. And these other boys, they're also really tough. Let me try this dark-skinned boy, Krishna. Let me try him. So he attacked Krishna. Krishna threw him onto Govardhan Hill. It is several kilometers away. And he fell unconscious for 1 hour, but then he came back. He grabbed Krishna and took Krishna into the sky, 1.2 million kilometers. But Krishna punched him hard in the face. Denikasura fell from 1.2 million kilometers and landed on his head. But as we said, he has a very hard head, so he did not die, although it hurt him badly. Then Denikasura did a very amazing thing. He picked up Govardhan Hill and threw it at Krishna. And Krishna caught the hill and threw it back at Denikasura. And Denikasura caught it again and threw it back at Krishna. And then Krishna put it back down. Then he attacked Balaram again, just running straight at him to just run him over. And Balaram, with one hand, grabbed both of his front legs, spun him around, and Denikasura died from the centrifugal force. Yes. And Balaram threw him up. He landed, his dead body landed on top of a tall tree, tall palm, and knocked the tree over, which then knocked another tree over, and knocked another tree. So there was a domino effect, and Denikasura was bouncing from the top of one tree to the next until he ended up on top of one tree. Then a really amazing thing happened. Then, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki. Listen to this. Leaving his body, Dainakasura manifested a splendid and handsome dark form, wearing yellow garments and decorated with a forest flower garland. Then a chariot filled with 100,000 of the Lord's associates, rumbling with 1,000 wheels, pulled by 10,000 horses, studded with many jewels, 10 kilometers long, traveling as fast as the mind. Oh, Hare Krishna. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki. Traveling as fast as the mind, this chariot appeared from Goloka Vrindavan. Then the demon, in his splendid, handsome, spiritual body, circumambulated Krishna and Balaram, and then, filling the directions with light, he got onto the chariot and went to Goloka. So when you go to Goloka, Hare Krishna, we pray. As you enter, you may meet someone who says, "You know who I was? I was Dainukasura." He's there in Goloka by the mercy of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Hare Rama. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Go Premanande. Hare Bol, Hare Bol. Hare Krishna. That's all for tonight. We'll begin tomorrow by telling you a story. Oh. Why? I don't know. He got the mercy of Krishna and Balaram. Balaram's very merciful. He's kind. Even to the fallen. He was kind to Duryodhana. He's very kind. Yeah. Like Nityananda. More merciful than Lord Chaitanya. Hare Krishna. Anyone like some Mahaprasadam?